Hello and welcome to The Rate Debate. I'm Darren Langer, co-head of fixed income at Yarra Capital, and joining me is one of our newest team members, Jessica Wren, who will bring a new perspective to the discussion and perhaps a far less cynical one. Jess is a fixed income investment manager at Yarra Capital, focused on rate strategy and assisting with the management of the Australian Bond Fund. Welcome, Jess. Maybe you can tell the listeners a little bit about yourself before we start the episode.
Hello, everyone, and thanks, Darren. I'm very excited to be joining you to debate all things RBA and fixed income. I'm passionate about macroeconomics and the bond markets. I was a rate strategist before joining Yarra, and I'm more than happy to challenge any conventional views of the market, and I'm not afraid to give my opinion, which may not always align with yours, Darren.
And good to hear. Well, it's Melbourne Cup Day, the first Tuesday of November, and that means the RBA has just met. As was widely expected, the RBA tightened another 25 basis points today and adjusted their outlook for inflation. They're now no longer forecasting to get back into the band, probably until 2025 or even the end of 2025. Personally, I was a bit surprised, given what's going on globally and the rest of the central banking world seems to have pulled back a little bit. I believe it was pretty brave of the RBA to go when they did, but you know, they definitely had an opportunity. Obviously the data hasn't been weak, but it hasn't been overly strong. But you know, I still think it was pretty brave. What did you think, Jess?
Yeah, I do agree with you there, Darren, although many would argue that this hike was necessary to ensure inflation gets back within a 2-3% target range. The RBA's got to be cautious around the implications of overhiking and what that means for their economy and any damages as well. I do think that this does help with reassuring the public about the RBA's independence from the Treasury, though. And I have been arguing that if they were going to hike at all, today would be their final chance to, as we're already seeing the cracks starting to form globally. What I really want to know about your thoughts, Darren, is what do you think about what's happening globally? Economy starting to slow in both the US and Europe as well. What does that mean for Australia? And what are your thoughts on what goes on from here?
Yeah, I think the one thing that was missing from the statement, which was somewhat glaring to me anyway, is the only mention of offshore was really China. Yes, we know that's weak. There's no mention of what's going on in Ukraine still. There's no mention of what's going on in the Middle East. Almost no mention of what is happening with other central banks. The RBA mentioned sticky services inflation, which I'm still failing to completely see in the numbers. And yet, you know, previously they had been using offshore as an example of sticky inflation. You know, everything that we saw in the recent number that came out, a lot of the increases were oil related. Yes, there were increases in services, but there are also offsets from goods inflation. So we're starting to see, I guess, the turnaround from the lift in inflation that we saw in 21, 22, where goods inflation took off. Now services is catching up. So I personally think that this is a mistake and it'll probably end up being some, but you know, 25 basis points either way, the RBA is not going to be too concerned about. They've probably already driven rates high enough already, but another 25 points either way doesn't really matter.
Yeah, the RBA's decision here, definitely, I think they are trying to show the market that they're way more determined than what some may perceive to be, and they're willing to hike more than to miss a rate hike, essentially. Although I think the RBA has had a lot of its work done for them by the global central banks. The US has hiked, the ECB has hiked, and now we're seeing signs of that working through monetary policy, and we know that it acts with a lag as well. What we're really seeing here is that, you know, does that translate to what we see in Australia, and how long is the real question? Australia is a trade country and we rely heavily on trade. So a lot of that inflation is going to come through, and the effects of the monetary policy overseas is also going to affect us here as well.
Yeah, and we've seen that come through the currency already. You know, the Aussie dollar adjusts nicely, and that's one of the things that protects our economy from some of the influences offshore. You know, the Aussie's been very, very weak this year, and, you know, without pushing Australian rates much higher, you know, it's hard to see it sort of recover dramatically from here, but that's the whole point of having a floating currency, and it's doing its job. I still think, you know, one of the things we still have yet to see is that a lot of the stimulus that we've seen in recent years, both here and offshore, is in the government sector. We don't really know what's going to happen when they start to pull back spending. You've seen governments actually starting to make some noise around, hey, maybe we should actually pull back some of these deficits a little bit and stop spending. I'll believe that when I see it, but that's obviously one of the things we've got to see. The other thing I think is really important, and it's something we talk a lot about, is are we now actually starting to get to a stage where interest rates are actually adding to the problem, not removing it? You know, there's a lot of people that don't have mortgages in economy. The more you put up rates, the more they earn on their deposits, the more money they have to spend. So that dynamic may be also something that's starting to change. I mean, what are your thoughts around that, Jess?
Yeah, I can speak on behalf of most young people here. I think most of us have decided that we're never going to be able to afford a house with any external help. So we're just going to spend it on entertainment instead. So this interesting concept that I've been hearing a lot of people talk about lately is this concept of funflation, which interestingly enough is when consumers decide that they're going to allocate more money onto travel, movie tickets, concert tickets such as Taylor Swift, and sporting events, dining out as well. In the past 3 years, as a result of coming out of the lockdowns over COVID as well. And that means a shift in priorities and spending habits for not only young people, but across the age group as well. You're still seeing a lot of restaurants and pubs being filled with people on the weekend, on Fridays as well. That doesn't mean that interest rates and monetary policy aren't working. It just means that people are shifting priorities, and it's still hurting those that have mortgages and that have debt. And I absolutely agree. You know, if you don't have a mortgage, then what does hiking interest rates really do to you?
Yeah, it's definitely something we talk a lot about. And I don't think it's something the RBA's addressed. I mean, they all say that their only job is to manage monetary policy, but you can't keep hammering one part of the economy at the expense of everybody else. There probably needs to start being a broader conversation with the government about how they can also start to use fiscal policy to try and rein in some of that spending outside of the mortgage belt. You know, we're seeing still rental increases, which again are rates related. You know, the more you jack up interest rates, the more landlords are going to want, you know, higher rents. It's not working as well in those sorts of sectors as it should. So funflation, yeah, I think it's a good term. I wish I'd coined that one. But, you know, it's fun for some and not for others. And this disparity, again, and inequality of how monetary policy works through the economy is something that we probably need to have a more adult conversation about over the next couple of months, I would suspect.
Unfortunately, it would take a lot more for the government to change their fiscal policy than it is for RBA to change their monetary policy. That's the unfortunate truth.
So, Jess, what came out of the statement today that caught your eye, and what is the RBA thinking as we look sort of forward for the next movement in monetary policy?
Yeah, I think the statement this month was definitely more interesting than last month's. And one of the key things I really noticed in this month's statement was the RBA's focus on its updated forecasts, which they are now expecting CPI inflation to be around 3.5% by the end of 2024, which is a quarter of a percentage point higher than the statement released by Dr. Phil Lowe 2 months ago. And they're also expecting inflation now to be at the top of the target range of 2-3% by the end of 2025, where they previously have said that they were only expecting the range CPI to get to the range by end of 2025. Some subtle differences there, but we can see that the RBA does have now an updated forecast, which changes their thinking slightly.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see this on, because where they're actually coming to that from. We've had one data print since then, which mostly was higher because of oil prices more than anything else. I'm not quite sure how they're getting there, so we'll wait for the statement to come out. But it was a little bit surprising. The recent CPI data wasn't a big miss, but they seem to have changed their forecast, not materially, but enough to sort of obviously lead them to tighten interest rates. I guess, you know, the chances of more hikes, to me, they actually toned their forward guidance down a little bit. They've gone from suggesting that the next move in interest rates is definitely up to now making it very data dependent. So I think there was some softening in the statement that we perhaps didn't have there. So it's kind of, you know, we always make the joke, it's sort of a dovish hike to some extent. On the one hand, you know, they're taking the big stick to inflation's too high. On the other hand, they're making it very much data dependency. I would always think monetary policy is data dependent, but who would have known, right? I mean, what do you think we're going to see in terms of the RBA's actions sort of from here?
Yeah, I agree. The RBA has always said that they will be data dependent, but from now, from the way that they say in the statement as well, it appears that, you know, the next focus would pretty much be the next CPI print coming up in January next year. And that leaves, so February, a live meeting for hikes. However, I think that they're done for now. at least until any material surprises to their forecasts. I think, you know, inflation has been falling from its peak. The RBA mentions it in the statement, inflation has passed its peak. So I think we're on the right track here. And the RBA, as we've mentioned before, needs to be very careful when they make any future decisions to ensure that they don't impact the Australian economy more than what they intend to.
Yeah, well, you know my view on that. They always over-tighten, they always cause recessions, and I still think that's going to be the case. However, I'm done calling done because I've been wrong in the past and the RBA keeps upsetting me but I keep going. But, you know, I think the CPI pass-through now is really important. We saw some pretty interesting sort of anecdotal evidence that perhaps the consumer is pulling back on some of its CPI expectations. But, you know, I think the one thing I would say is this probably makes a topside miss to CPI data going forward somewhat dangerous, and that they seem to be much more reactive. That's kind of my feeling now. So the risks are probably still there, but, you know, I think that, again, every time they hike rates, we're one step closer to causing a worse outcome.
And it appears that markets do agree with you this time round. We saw 3-year bond yields rally up the 10 basis points at the time of recording. So it does appear that markets think that they're done as well, although there's no short of economists that will keep calling for more hikes.
Yep, and tomorrow could be a completely different story. Well, that's it for this month. Tune in next month for the final RBA decision before the Christmas break, where we'll be providing an update on what's been happening in markets. If you ever want to suggest topics for Jess or I to discuss further, we can be contacted at theratedebate@yarracm.com.
See you next time.
The Rate Debate podcast content may contain general advice. Before acting on anything in this podcast, you should consider your own objectives, financial situation, or needs, and seek the advice of an appropriately qualified financial advisor.